We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Welcome to Transformative Principal, a proud member of the B Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jethro Jones. You can find me on all the social medias at Jethro Jones. Today, I'm so excited to have on the program Dr. Jenny Nash. She serves as the head of education impact US for LEGO Education, where she provides leadership in delivering meaningful learning experiences for students. As an advocate for playful hands-on learning, she is focused on instilling confidence in learning in students and teachers to build academic and 21st century skills that will create active, collaborative, lifelong learners. She's worked all over in education, middle and high school teacher, professional development provider, education specialist, and she's presented all over, been in publications, and she's an influential woman in STEM and tech. Jenny, thank you so much for being here and being part of Transformative Principal. Appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
So excited to be here and to talk more about purposeful play.
Yeah. So what is something that people should look forward to getting out of our conversation today?
I'm really excited for folks to walk away thinking about what makes play purposeful in our classrooms and how we can use that to kind of reimagine the classroom experience, not only for students, but also for teachers.
Yeah, I really like that. I especially like how we get to the idea of what teachers need to be successful in doing this. And because we didn't get this as kids ourselves, we need the opportunities to experience what it feels like and how powerful that can be. So I think there's a lot of great stuff in this conversation. I'll get to my interview with Jenny here in just a moment. If you've been listening to Transformative Principal for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students, and yet so many of our EdTech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/B for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE. Well, Jenny, I think a good place to start is talking about the idea of what purposeful play is and why it's important and worthwhile spending time during the day doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty simple, actually. Purposeful play creates a more engaging learning experience for our students, you know, period. But when we think about play, you know, that's very natural to us. We're easily curious about things and want to try something out. We don't always have an end in mind when we do that, when we're just playing through something. And play is really about being in the moment often. And I think when we combine that with an intentionality to make that play very purposeful, that's when we have a huge impact for the classroom. And I think that, you know, we just have to stop and think about how can we have students gain all of those benefits that we see naturally in play, asking big questions, finding their answers without necessarily having to have one right answer. And I think that's where that play can be so powerful. And how do we do that to get to the learning outcomes that we want to get to? That's when it becomes purposeful. And we see purposeful play happening often in a classroom through methodologies of just being hands-on in our learning, being project-based in our learning, using kind of an inquiry-based approach to learning. And that's when that play really becomes purposeful, and it's very intentional in the way that teachers are then framing the learning for students while still benefiting from that kind of natural curiosity. We were just chatting about the fact that Connecticut really has identified those great benefits that play-based learning can have and starting to bring legislation in that in elementary schools that will be more of a requirement for students. And I think that Connecticut example is so good because students really benefit from that and teachers are seeing that. They're seeing the engagement of students. They're seeing the students excited about learning that way. And they just want to bring that into their classrooms.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing that more and more, especially after the pandemic, that there's a lot of desire to be more purposeful with the time that we're spending with students. You talked about purposeful play being really focused on getting to the curricular outcomes that we're trying to have. And so is there room for play that's not purposeful, that allows kids to just spend time playing in the classroom? Or do we really have to find a way to shoehorn those standards in so that we make sure kids are learning?
Yeah, I think that the answer I want to give is there's always room for play. There's always room for letting students ask big questions and be curious and kind of see that where that takes us. I do think the time element becomes, unfortunately, the limiting factor for us, that we do have so many outcomes that we want to get to for our students. There's this future we're preparing them for that's somewhat unknown. And we have to be thoughtful about how we do spend that time that we have with them as purposeful as possible. And so I think often we do need to draw back to, you know, what are the knowledge bases that we want students to have? What are the skills we want them to have? I mean, skills are so important. And how can we bring those experiences to students? So I think that in a lot of ways, we do need to be intentional and purposeful about the way we bring that play in. I don't think that we have to over-engineer it so much, though, that we miss that opportunity again to kind of build those skills that students need for that future, to help them kind of learn about being a learner, think about a new way to solve a problem or investigate an idea. We don't want to miss that as we bring that into the classroom. And I'll just quote a recent study that we actually did, that LEGO Education did, where we talked to K-8 students. And just kind of ask them about what really helps them learn. And 98% of them actually identified play as a great way to help them learn. So the benefits are there, whether we're being overly purposeful about it or not, the benefits are there. And we don't want to miss that as we kind of think about how we bring this into school. And I'll just one other quick reference to that study, 89% of students cited that they were more excited just to go to school. So there's something there also about other measurable outcomes besides just kind of how students are performing, you know, how they're growing in their knowledge base. But the fact that that's helping attendance rates now, that that's helping get school kids into school that maybe otherwise are not showing up, that's a pretty important outcome that I think we lean into when we think about that power that play brings. So again, it definitely has a place there. while we need to be thoughtful about it, maybe we try not to be too over-engineering in the way that we use it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up that idea of over-engineering the play and the structure around that, because I think that that is a key piece, that learning play loses the fun part of play when it's always about school, right? And so being able to find that balance, and I think this is where it really takes specific skills by the teacher to make the learning fun. So I was in a classroom the other day and I saw the teacher was playing Jenga with the kids, and they were going around the circle and everybody was taking a turn on the Jenga thing. And when a star was written on the Jenga square or block or whatever it is, then the students had to answer a question or read a passage and respond to it or something like that. And it was a way to deal with it. And one of the students afterward said that she thought that was a much more fun way to do it, because it was what they had been doing in that class previously, is they would have a question, they'd get into groups, they'd have a discussion, and then make posters or present their work somehow. And she was just getting kind of sick of that, she said. And now she had this other opportunity where the content piece wasn't all that different, but it was just the way that it was presented. And I think that was something as simple as changing it up like that. And a very simple thing of playing the game Jenga was a lot of fun for him. What are some of the other ways that you would suggest that teachers bring play in? Certainly, you're with Lego Education, so of course, Lego's a given, and feel free to talk about that. But then what other ways can you think of where teachers can bring in play, and some specific strategies that we can give them to help them find ways to do that?
Yeah, and I think your example, I think what's so brilliant about that, right, is that play can take so many different forms. So I think, you know, just high level, when we think about play, it's about putting students in the driver's seat a little bit, right? It can be something as simple as, you know, an idea that students are interested in engaging more with and letting them explore that idea or concept. It's about helping them find ways to make connections and kind of work through how this thing is like that thing. It is an experiment, a way that students could iterate. Obviously, when we think about Lego Education and being able to build a model of an idea for students and then being able to iterate and kind of work through that, it's that time to just try some things out and use that natural curiosity, you know, ways to approach problems, ways to investigate, the fact that we allow students then to find some of their own solutions. And one of the most powerful things in that is when you have four or five different groups that come up with different ideas and solutions, having them discuss it. We always, in our lesson plans, our Lego Education lesson plans, make sure that students have time to share and discuss what they've come up with and how they got there, not just a final idea, but how they got there, right? Because then they're talking about their learning. And I think there's so many ways that students can benefit from that, and teachers can bring that into the classroom easily, again, without having to, you know, come up with something completely new. The Jenga example is such an easy way to still accomplish the tasks and the learning the teacher wanted to, but in a little bit more of an interactive, hands-on, fun way for students. And so I think that's kind of the most powerful thing to take away, is finding the ways that the goals you want to accomplish and the way that you are doing something every day can kind of take on a little bit more of the students taking a life of their own on, right? And bringing back this way to kind of interact with the information in new and different ways. Because when we can really interact with information, right, that's when we make really meaningful connections to it. And that's going to help those students in the long run.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I'm just thinking about that idea of acting with the information that we have in front of us, and that it's one thing to read a book or to do something in class, fill out a worksheet, whatever the case may be, but it's a whole different thing to take that information and do something productive with it. I'm in a doctoral class or a doctoral program right now, and people who are listening are like, "We know you are, Jethro," but because I talk about it all the time. But I haven't been a student for so long in a structured class. I've been learning a ton for my whole entire career because I love learning. But I haven't been in a structured class. And And I can't help but think of all these different ways that you can bring this opportunity to interact with the information in. And, you know, like in the class that I'm in right now, this, it's a good example. We have to write an implementation paper at the end. And what I just don't understand is why we force things to be academic when you can learn so much by doing something with it, and you can pick up those skills that you need to learn by actually creating and doing something. What's your take on that part of learning by doing something that has actual meaning, where the audience is not just the teacher or the professor who's reading it?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, if nobody takes anything else away from this, right, it's the idea that purposeful play actually will empower us to kind of reimagine the classroom experience.
Yes. Yes.
It is, again, about letting the student kind of be in that driver's seat a lot more and taking the learning into their own hands. And I'll shift just for a second to the benefit that that can give. Playful learning, everybody can be successful with that. There is no bar for, you know, you have to reach such a height. Everybody can find success, and it will meet learners where they are. So it's actually going to meet learners where they are and let them start, no matter what the background, no matter what the experience, no matter how long it's been since you've been out of the classroom, right? You're going to be able to start building up and growing from where you are. And I think those benefits cannot be emphasized enough. Going back to your point, right, it's going to allow us then to rethink that classroom experience. Instead of giving students just something to read, how can we make them really interact with that text in new ways? Maybe we're making a video. Maybe we're asking big questions about it. We could be thinking about just simple things instead of having students, you know, watch a video, read a text, look at an image, discuss it. You know, how do we actually build models around it? How do we actually pose a question that then they have to go answer? And have them actually need to do the reading in order to find those answers. I can't, you know, going back to my own classroom days, my favorite days were the days where students would be like, I need you to teach me this because the project we were working on required them to gain information they didn't have. Those are the powerful moments in teaching that we want to capture. And I just, the getting hands-on, being play-based, being more student-centered is just such an easy, natural way to do that for our learners without hindering their ability to kind of still learn the concepts and make connections as they need to. And I think we can easily do that in the way we design learning, our own lesson plans, our LEGO education lesson plans. We want students to engage with that information. We give them time to explore with it. We have that discussion time built in. And then we ask them to use those ideas in a different way. And I think it's taking that time to really get that depth with that information that is transforming the way that people are learning.
Let's talk about flex time in schools. If you've been listening for a long time, you know how important I think this is. It gives us more time for personalized learning, increasing choice and agency for students, and the increased enrollment that comes with it, dedicated time for intervention and enrichment. And overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be so tough. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more about it and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. Yeah, well, and one of the real challenges with any of this student-directed or purposeful play-based or project-based learning or any of this kind of stuff is that it takes time to do these other things. And a lot of educators are like, I don't have time to get through all my content anyway. What's your advice to them when they bring up that concern? I've got my own that I'll say after you say yours.
Yeah, I feel their pain. I understand that time constraint is always such a real problem. But I think what's great about kind of having a project-based approach or a play-based approach is the way that we wrap those things together. You know, we're having students naturally use vocabulary words in the discussion and collaboration that they're doing. We're having, you know, the fact that they're using the information they're learning, but then writing about it, reading through it, you know, potentially there's math involved. They're really pulling those skills in and doing more than one thing at once. And I think that's a big key to it. And again, I can't emphasize the skill building enough, the problem solving, the communication, the collaboration, the critical thinking. When we go look at a lot of research and a lot of workforce development that's asking for what skills students need to have when they graduate, those are always right at the top. Resilience, perseverance, right? Perseverance, those are right at the top as well. Students are going to learn that when they're doing this type of approach to learning. And so it's seeing kind of the fact that so many things end up coming together in one that I think is really powerful. Now, I want to hear your answer, but then I want to talk a little bit about why that's still difficult for teachers to be able to do all of that. But I really want to hear your thoughts as well.
Yeah, well, they parallel yours quite well, but there are a couple of things that I really want to emphasize that we often don't think about. Number one, I have found that by doing things other than direct instruction on a particular topic, we see how kids learn and understand standards that they would not have been exposed to otherwise. So, absolutely. For example, like if you're trying to teach a kid 2 + 2 = 4, if the kid wants to know what 5 + 5 is, then that's not part of the curriculum. That's not what we're trying to teach. But when you're doing either play or project-based learning, then you can learn those things without it being part of the curriculum. And if you want to get real nerdy, transformativeprinciple.org, search for Synergy. These students passed off so many standards, you wouldn't even believe it. It was amazing. Students at my school doing project-based learning learned things that even adults don't understand. And it was truly incredible to see how they could figure those things out. So that's one piece. You learn a bunch of other skills. Number two, you mentioned this also, you actually apply your learning rather than just regurgitating your learning. And I think that that's so key also, because that makes it so that the learning actually sticks with you and that it's not something that you're just going to forget when the test is over. Because those things that you learn in that method, they stick with you for the next time that you need to use them, because there was real meaning and a real need for that. And so whenever teachers complain about that, my response is always, the kids will learn more because I've seen it, and the kids will enjoy it. And when you are happy and learning, you also learn more as well. And it's not quite as challenging, and it's not as boring either. So that's the final thing, is that it is fun, time goes by faster, and everybody has a better time when they are playing rather than just doing worksheets or doing hard academic work. And you can do both at the same time. You can have fun and do hard academic work.
Yeah, I can't stress enough that fun piece. Why do we worry about bringing fun into school so much? Absolutely. Let's enjoy learning. Let's create learners that want to be lifelong learners. Let's help students learn how to be learners. I think about that for my own daughter sometimes. You know, that's an important skill that we need to have. But that joy in learning is so real. Play often is about joy. And it's why those experiences are so meaningful to us. And we need school to feel like that too. We need the learning experiences in school to also be meaningful and joyful to us. And I go back to, you know, some of the research that we've seen with our schools using LEGO Education. Attendance rates are going up. They see kids excited to come and be at school, and they often are bringing it back to the fact that it's because we've brought this playful approach into their schools. When they're using our materials and in other ways, you know, it's transformed the teachers into bringing playful learning in, whether they're using our materials or not. And kids are showing up and excited about school for that, and we need that right now.
Yeah, we absolutely do. What was the other thing that you wanted to talk about? I already forgot it. I got so involved in what you were saying.
No, I love it. I think that I was just reflecting as I was talking about, you know, being able to have this kind of multi-interdisciplinary approach, and we were both saying that they're so easy to connect multiple things together. But I do reflect back on the fact that teachers aren't necessarily always ready to do that. That feels uncomfortable. It's certainly not the way that I learned when I was in school. And so many of us as educators are being asked to do things that we didn't experience as learners in order to transform the practice. And teachers need a lot of support. You know, teachers need the love too. They need learning opportunities. They need professional learning. They need the ability to feel supported, experience it as a learner, and then feel supported as they're bringing it in as the teacher into their classroom. So I don't want to discount that in what I said. It's not as easy as like, yeah, just go do that. Teachers really do need some support in being that facilitative teacher and being able to bring those projects in. They need good curriculum to find so that they don't have to recreate everything themselves. And I don't want to discount that in what I said, because I do think teachers need a lot of support as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And here's the thing. Teachers need these same types of learning experiences as well. You know, they need purposeful play in what they're doing. And, you know, even something as simple as one of the things that I do a lot with my professional development that I run is I do role plays so that people have a chance to pretend to be someone else and practice how they would respond or act in different situations. And no matter how old they are, they always have fun doing that, you know? And
yeah.
And then they learn things that they may not have learned otherwise, that they, when you have to actually say something to someone, you, even if it's made up, even if it's just play, you still have that feeling and that experience of what does this actually feel like, rather than, you know, writing it out or something else that could articulate that, you know, that, but just in different way. So what's something that principals can do to help teachers have better support and better experiences in that regard?
Yeah, I think you hit a really great point. You know, teachers deserve some playful learning too. Let's let them get excited about their learning and find that joy and be able to share ideas and ask those big questions the same way we're saying that students need that. But I do encourage principals to think about how to bring in professional learning that supports teachers experiencing it as a learner first. That's what we do with our LEGO Education Facilitated Professional Development. We really want to give teachers that experience first as a learner. This is what it's going to look like and feel like in your classroom. And then here are tools for you to use in order to go facilitate this learning yourself. And I think that approach is, we find, very meaningful to teachers. It gives them a lot of background knowledge where, again, they may not have had those experiences, so that they do go in kind of knowing, hey, this is what good looks like in the classroom with this type of learning. And again, then gives them a lot of tools to go use to go be successful. And also, it's kind of not a one time only. I mean, we know the research all points to the fact that professional development is something that is often done to you. It needs to be something that you're a part of. And ongoing professional learning is so important. So I think continuing to have those coaching moments and helping teachers think through what's being successful and where they need support and getting that support as they go. Because again, in a lot of ways, this is transforming classroom practices. And that's, you know, there's a reason we use that word, transforming. It's not as easy as flipping a switch. We really want to see the full benefit of what this can bring. And so we want to bring the right support behind that.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked about a lot of stuff in our conversation today. Let's bring it all together. What is one thing that a principal can do this week to be a transformative leader like you, Jenny?
Well, I might give you two things. I'm never really a rule follower. I think one thing is stop and think about where students are and how we can bring playful learning to them to bring that joy back that we discussed, and also those great learning experiences that we discussed. What is one or two ways that could come into the school? And again, it does not have to be a huge school-wide project that takes weeks and weeks and weeks. It can be through very small actions. And so helping provide those tools to teachers to take one or two steps. I think the second thing that I'll mention is just being thoughtful about what engagement really looks like. So often materials get brought into the classroom and kids are really busy working with those materials, but always ask ourselves, are they engaged with the learning?
Yeah.
So I think as we bring these new approaches into the classroom, it can look playful and it can feel playful, but always making sure that we're really in going back to, our students learning the concepts, are they talking about the concepts or are they talking about something else? Because talking alone in the classroom doesn't mean that they're getting to the impacts we want. So thinking about those outcomes we want to get to, making sure that the engagement is truly to getting to those outcomes and not just kind of engagement for the excitement of doing something hands-on. So I think that's the challenge behind kind of starting to bring these in, even in small ways, into classrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that we talk about that on this podcast is we talk about it as enrollment rather than engagement. Because you can be engaged in a task, but if you are enrolled, you are choosing to participate and be involved in that task rather than you're doing it because it's a piece of technology or it's fun, that you are choosing to enroll in that. And that was from episode 138 with Seth Godin, where he brought that on early on. And that's something that has just stuck with me ever since, because we really do want kids to be enrolled in their own learning and not just doing it, not just being there. We want it to be something that they're choosing to participate in. And as we give them opportunities like this, like you said, I think we give them a much better opportunity to find that joy and the excitement of learning when we do that. So, Jenny, this was a fabulous conversation. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you being here and being part of Transformative Principle. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I hope that everybody can go find something fun and playful to do with their day and then think about the learning that they had from it.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's IXL.com/BE. There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.